As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. Would you pray with me? Father God, it is a joy for us to be able to praise you. It is a joy for us to declare together that your love is better than life. It is a joy for us together to be in this place of worship and to see your power and your glory on full display. We lift you up and we bring our hearts before you, O God, and we ask that you would lift up every heart in this room as we begin this hour of worship, that every anxiety, every doubt, every fear, every place of grief and sadness could be laid at your feet, even right here and right now, trusting that you are a God who is good and you're a God who deeply cares for us, your children. And so as we lay these things down, we open our hearts up to receive your encouragement, your wisdom, your healing, your peace, and your love. Would you move in power in this place? And would you be so very pleased by what you see and what you hear from us, your children? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16 as we continue in our series with Israel in the wilderness. We started chapter 16 last week and we only got 3 verses in, so we'll hear the rest of the story this morning, starting in Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it'll be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. Jump to verse 13. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents. The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over until morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, as we turn to your word, these ancient words, from a wilderness so far away from here. A people that feel sometimes more like a folk tale than our brothers and sisters. Would your spirit move among us, bringing this, your living word, to life in us, O God. Help us see that their story is our story, their wilderness, our wilderness, their God, our God. And as you care for them, as you speak to them, would you care for and speak to us? And so as we listen, O Lord, help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we left Israel 45 days into their wilderness journey. The food that they had brought with them when they had to leave Egypt in a rush, it had now run out. And they are finding nothing to eat in the desert, and they are beginning to freak out. They're complaining to Moses and to God through Moses, saying the things like, if only, remember that? If only we had never left Egypt. Or saying things like, you know, this God is really just like Pharaoh. Just set us up and brought us here to kill us off. They are desperate. And they are quickly losing hope. Anyone been in those shoes before? Today, the rest of what happens in Exodus 16. The Lord hears the cries of his people. And he begins to tell Moses his plan. Now let's not miss this detail here. Remember, these are the people who just a month and a half ago stood panicked on the banks of the Red Sea. And they watched God part those waters. And they walked through on dry land. These are the people who days before were panicked at that place called Marah. They were thirsty and afraid. And there they saw the living God turn bitter water sweet. These are the same people who are now panicking again, complaining again, blaming again. It's only been a month and a half. It's like boom, boom, boom. This is the third strike. If they were susceptible to the American justice system, they would be done for in the wilderness. But thanks be to our God, he has his own way of dealing with his grumbling, panicky, blaming children. God hears their cries again and moves to help them again. Now, I'm not saying at all that God loves it when his people grumble and complain and lose faith. Not at all. It is his heart that we would trust him, and it breaks his heart when we don't see and trust in his goodness in those difficult moments in life. But rather than move in with might and authority and this really stern voice and shame the Israelites for their lack of faith this third time, God instead hears their cries and pulls Moses aside and said, okay, listen up. Here's my plan to take care of them. This is the grace of our God. This is the goodness of our God. This is the tender mercy. This is the patience of our God. And knowing how quickly my own heart gets to grumbling when I'm in my own wilderness places, remembering God's good character, all I can say with the Israelites is thanks be to our God. God tells Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. And each day the people will go out and they will gather what they need for that day. On the sixth day, I'll give enough for 2 days so that they can keep one day a Sabbath just to enjoy being and resting with their God. And this will be a test, God tells Moses. We will see if they trust me as God or not. So Moses goes out, tells the people what he's heard. They see the glory of God in a cloud. And then that evening, the quail come into the camp just as God had said. And in the morning, they wake up and they walk out of their tents. And there on the ground in front of them is this fine, flaky substance. What is it? They ask. That's what it gets named. Manna just means, what is it? It's true. What is it? And so they start to do what they've been told to do, and they gather enough of this flaky bread from heaven stuff to cover what them and their family will need for today. Now, some tried to gather more, not quite convinced that God would be as good to them tomorrow as he was good to them today, and the extra just rotted. Just what they needed for today. You see, God's showing his children how he will provide for them in the wilderness. Always. He'll provide one day at a time. You know what that means? That means that every single day, God wants his children to walk out of their tents and look first thing for his care for them. They will do that every day for 40 days, for 40 years. And every day, God will give them just what they need to get through that day until they reach the promised land one day. If God was asking my advice, he doesn't very often, but if he was, I would say, you know, God, I like efficiency. And you could give yourself a break here. I mean, just give them like a week's worth of manna at a time. Maybe even a whole month's worth. Just dump all that bread from heaven on the first day of the month. Let them take care of dispersing it as needed. And then, God, you can go and do other things. There's better ways to do this. I'm pretty sure that the God of the universe thought through all of his options for how he wanted to care for his people. And this one day at a time thing, just enough for the next 24 hours, is what he decided is best. Why do you think that is? Truly consider it for a moment. Why do you think that is? Why just one day at a time? What's that about? Perhaps more than full bellies, God cares that his children have full hearts. And our hearts need to encounter the God who loves us every single day. Our God actually wants to meet with us first thing every single day. Our God wants to show us his new mercies every single morning. Jesus wants to be the living water that we come and drink from every single day. God doesn't want to give us just so much that we just take it and forget about him and start to do life on our own, deceiving ourselves into thinking that somehow we're our own little gods. God actually wants to do life with us. And so his provision is just enough for today. And so where we go and hoard and store up, be careful with that, my friends. I'm not saying don't save some stuff, but don't let whatever you are storing keep you from being desperate for, keep you from meeting with your God every single day. Be careful with that. If you don't feel like you need them on Monday mornings, we're storing too much stuff that wasn't meant to be stored. We need them every single day. Tomorrow's Monday. What will you plan now to meet up with your God in that place and let him care for you It's an everyday deal. This being the children of God in relationship with God stuff. God also chooses to provide for his children in this way. Each one will only take what they need, not what they want for themselves, but what they need. You know what that ensures? That ensures that they will be fed and that their neighbor will have what they need too. You see, God dropped down enough bread from heaven every single day for everyone in the camp to have exactly what they need. But if Joe over in tent 42 decides that he needs 3 times what he really needs, then one of his neighbors will go to bed hungry that night. Just take what you need, God says, and so that they will have what they need. You see, God gives enough manna for everyone to have what they need, but then God goes and does this crazy thing, and he actually trusts his people to love their neighbor as much as they love themselves. And he actually believes that his children will trust him enough to refuse to take more for themselves if it means that somebody else will have to have less. What a radical God this is. Does he know who we are? God will provide as his children come to him first thing every morning. As they come and look to him as a good father who is eager to help his children. And God will provide as his children see everyone around them as neighbor, as brother and sister, and they dare not keep for themselves what they don't really need, when that very thing could be the very thing that another one desperately needs to get through this day. We may be very far removed from eating manna in the Sinai wilderness. But hear this, my friends. And I say let's hear this together because I sit in the same camp with you. Did you know that there are 757 million people who face chronic hunger every single day? 757 million, that's a lot of people. Do you know what's more? There's an estimated 1 billion meals wasted every day. That's more than those who are facing chronic hunger. To waste food means that somewhere along the way, we took more than we needed. Some store extra while others go without. And we shake our fist at God and we say, why aren't you taking better care of your people, God? And when I listen, he speaks back to me and says, Jamie, open your pantry and look at all those things that are probably never gonna even make it to your table. I've given more than enough for my people to live, but my people must actually help and let each other live. He still has this radical idea that we will trust him. Hear this. In America, there are an estimated 771,000 homeless people. That's a lot. Getting kind of close to 1 million. You know what's more? You know what's way more? In America alone, there are an estimated 32 million empty bedrooms in homes. Not even 1 million homeless people. 32 million empty bedrooms every night. While brothers and sisters sleep in tents, we've got bedrooms that sit empty many nights of the year. I've got two. We say, but Jamie, homelessness is complicated. There's addiction, there's mental illness. Some of those people want to be out there. I know, I get it. I tell myself the same things. But my home is my safe place. I've got kids to protect. I know I tell myself the same things. But is the tension not at least worth wrestling with together in the presence of our God? Is that okay? Is that okay? Thousands of years ago in the wilderness, God showed his children that he would be faithful to provide for their every need, but they would have to lay down any sense of entitlement they had to their own flourishing while their neighbor struggled just to survive. And what if God's way of caring for us all hasn't changed all that much? What do I have that I hardly need that might just be the thing that keeps a neighbor alive today? Dare I say, my God, as you have cared for me, I will care for them in your holy name. It's the way he cares for his children in the wilderness. There's another noteworthy fact about this manna stuff. In my research this week, I learned something brand new, fascinating. The Bedouin people who still live in the Sinai Peninsula today, they still gather this stuff that forms in the desert today. And they still call it manna today. And they still use it to make bread still today. And manna, for these Bedouin people, what it is these flakes. Now, this sounds gross, but stick with me. It's these flakes that come from plant lice that feed on the local tamarisk trees. So these tiny little bugs, they excrete this yellowish, white, flaky substance. They're kind of like little balls of bug juice. Comes out from the tree that they're eating that is very rich in carbohydrates and in sugars. There's not a lot of nutrients, so they have to eat a whole lot to make it worth it. So they have this carbohydrate-dense, sugary excretion that they leave behind. And go figure, this stuff decays quickly. And so it attracts ants and things like that. So a daily portion is about all that anyone gathers. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Is this the same stuff that the Israelites gathered as bread from heaven thousands of years ago? We don't know. We can still say, what is it? We don't know. Some would say, no way. No way. Can't be. Because the one in Exodus 16, that was a miracle from God. And whatever those Bedouins are gathering and eating today, that's just weird and it's just nature. Let them be. Could be. But what if, just consider this with me for a moment. What if the miracle isn't so much that the people had to receive something brand new from God that was never there before? But what if the miracle was instead that God actually opened their eyes to see his goodness that was right in front of them all along? And now they could see it for what it was, and now they knew what to do with it. What if the miracle is less about what the thing is and more about who the thing comes from? If it's a gift from the living God to care for his children who he loves, who are desperate for help, then it is a miracle, no doubt about it, that we have a God who hears our cries and moves to help us. That is a miracle, no doubt about it. I wonder in your life, when you pray to God for a miracle, when you ask God for a sign that he's with you, what is it you're usually looking for? Think about that. If your manna has to drop down from heaven right into your lap as a perfectly buttered piece of bread, there's a good chance you're going to be hungry a lot. And when you don't get the exact miracle that you're praying for and demanding and expecting, there's a good chance you might start to think that God is punishing you or just ignoring you, or that he doesn't give a care about you, or that he just can't really do anything to help you. You see, when we get into these places telling God that we need him to move, and then we begin to specify to the living God exactly how he needs to move, what it should look like, when it should happen, how it needs to be in my life, we are in a very good position to miss a whole lot of things that God is doing in our midst because they look so ordinary, like a morning's dew, like bug's juice. When God might just be saying, look closer. What you're calling ordinary is extraordinary. And what you think is nothing is something. Because it is a gift of the God who loves you. It is a gift from the God who is for you. It is a gift from the God who still hears your cries and moves to help you. It is a miracle in front of your eyes. Oh God, open my eyes to see how you are providing for me. Not how I expect you to or demand you to, but how you actually are. You see, the miracles, my friends, are still right outside of our tents every single day. What if those Israelites had walked out of their tents the 44 days prior and seen this same stuff on the ground that was there to sustain them? But they didn't think for a second that they could eat it. Didn't even dawn on them. What if the miracle wasn't its arrival, but their new eyes that now saw what God was doing in his goodness in their midst, and it was for them, for the taking. It was right there. Peter Mayer, one of my favorite folk singers, sings a song called Holy Now. Listen to it today. It's beautiful. And some of the lyrics of that song, he says, when I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time that Moses split the sea in two and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still. And now I can't keep track because everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. He says, wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. My friends, have you seen any miracles in front of you today? Today. Your brain, your heart, your lungs, your nervous system, even your spleen. What is a spleen? I don't know what a spleen does. But you got these hundreds, thousands of body parts simultaneously working together without you having the least bit of awareness of them. They're keeping you alive and moving and loving and feeling and learning even right now. That's a miracle. Not so much what it is, but who it comes from. While we are just mindlessly going about our day, the giver of life, our good God, oversees every tiny detail that keeps us alive. Whether we thank him or not, he does it anyway. That is a miracle. And it's outside our tent every single day. Many of us in this room have been so hurt by people. Hearts have been broken. And here you are, still finding new ways to love and to be loved. That's a miracle. Who mends your heart and opens it again? But God himself, the bread of heaven. It's right outside your tent every day. It's not a one of us in this room, as far as I know, who are starving. I believe we all had a roof over our heads last night, unless you chose to go camping or something. And that's not just an ordinary fact of life. That is a miracle. This is a God who is taking care of us. Even as we know suffering around our world is real. There are people in Gaza right now who are literally starving. Last week in Texas, entire homes were washed away. And so every single moment that we are fed and that we are sheltered, even though we try to convince ourselves that we've done it for ourselves, we know in our heart of hearts that that is hogwash. All of us in this room are just a fragile bundle of bones. And we are susceptible to the next wildfire or major disruption that cuts off food supply just like anyone else. Our daily bread. It is a miracle, you guys, that children still come into this world every day. And before you know it, their little faces learn how to smile. They enter the world with hope. After all the mess that we've made of this place, these babies just keep coming and they just keep bringing with them a chance of a fresh start. New life before our eyes. That's a miracle. Just because we see it every day doesn't make it any less of a miracle. All the ways our God shows up for us every day to feed us, to heal us, to love us, to forgive us. It's a miracle. Don't lose sight of it. Even when it's right in front of you and just looks so ordinary, what is it? The challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. I dare you, my friends, to find one place in your life today where you can say, now there's a place where God is not with me. I dare you. And if you cannot find one, let's just call it what it is. A miracle that the God of the universe would choose to be intimately connected with every part of my life. That is a miracle indeed. 1,400 years later, Jesus fed 5,000 hungry people in the wilderness. Those few loaves that he had, they just kept multiplying. And that crowd of Jewish people, they knew this story well. Bread from heaven, it's happening again, they cried out. And so they began to stick to Jesus like glue. They followed him all night long to get to the next town because they wanted breakfast from heaven too. And Jesus says, oh, you guys, he says, you're looking for bread for breakfast. He said, but I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry. They wanted literal bread to fall from heaven again. Jesus said, even better, I've come from heaven to give you myself. The things that your soul longs for most of all. Jesus says, I will fill those places. Just come, walk with me, be with me every day. Just come, care for the least of these. And as you do, you'll be caring for me. You'll be right there with me. Just come and see the miracle of miracles. The living God wants to be in relationship with you. For some, that wasn't what they were looking for. Give me my breakfast bread or I'm done with you, Jesus. Take care of me how I expect you to, or I'll ignore your care altogether, Jesus. Some did that and they walked away. But others took this rabbi up on his invitation and they dropped everything and they followed him. And they opened their hearts and they shared with any who had need in his name. And they prayed each day, give us this day our daily bread. And their eyes were open to see the miracle. He was giving them himself. And they were filled, hungry and thirsty no more. That's how God provides in the wilderness. He gives us himself every single day. Will you simply receive the miracle today? God giving you himself. And perhaps we return the favor and just give ourselves to him this day, every day. It's how we get from the wilderness to the promised land. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, that we're even talking to you right now and you're hearing us, it's a miracle. That your spirit is here among us and within every one of us, it is a miracle. Forgive me for when your holy presence has become ordinary in my life. And I look for other signs, other assurances. And there you are right in front of me, revealing your goodness in 1,000 different ways. Open my eyes to the manna in my midst this day. I pray the same for my brothers and sisters. Let us find our filling in the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ himself. Let us walk with you every day, Jesus. Let us care for others in your name. And let us marvel at your goodness to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.